हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे सो ब्यूटीफुल वेलकम बैक एवरीवन प्लीज एक्सेप्ट माय कोलैबोरेशंस ऑल म्यूजिशियन पीपल सो लेट्स ऑफर आवर प्रेयर्स टू आवर गुरु परंपरास बिफोर वी स्टार्ट क्लास आई होप एवरीबॉडी कैन हियर मी ओम ज्ञान तिमिरंदस ज्ञानंजना शलाकय चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदातिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुश्युतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन्वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सार्वजातं सगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साधवैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्रीराधा कृष्ण पादा सगण ललिता श्री विशाखावितंश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाचा कल्प तरुभ्यश्च उपासितुभ्येव च उपासितुभ्येव च कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 रामो हरे राम राम रामो हरे हरे ऑफर ऑफ प्रेस टू चैतन्य महाप्रभु नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम पदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौर दिशे नमः आई ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंस अंडर द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य हु इज मोर मैग्नानिमस देन एनी अदर अवतार इवन कृष्ण हिमसेल्फ बिकॉज ही इज बेस्टोइंग फ्रीली व्हाट नो वन एल्स हैज एवर गिवन एंड दैट इज कृष्ण प्रेम कृष्णवर्णं कृशा कृष्णं सांगोपांगो अस्त्रपार्षदं यज्ञैः संकीर्तन प्रायैर् यजन्ति सुमेधसः इन द एज ऑफ कलि इंटेलिजेंट पर्सन्स परफॉर्म कॉन्ग्रीगेशन चैंटिंग टू वर्शिप द इनकार्नेशन ऑफ गॉडहेड हु कॉन्स्टेंटली सिंग्स द नेम्स ऑफ कृष्ण ऑल्दो ही दिस कंप्लेक्शन इज नॉट ब्लैकिश ही इज कृष्ण हिमसेल्फ ही इज अकंपनीड बाय हिज एसोसिएट्स सर्वेंट्स वेपन्स एंड कॉन्फिडेंशियल कंपेनियंस
नानाशास्त्रविचारनैक निपुणौ षड्धर्म संस्थापकौ लोकानां हितकारिणौ त्रिभुवने मान्यौ शरण्याकरौ राधा कृष्ण पदारविन्द भजना आनन्देन मत्तालिकौ वंदे रूप सनातन रघुयुगौ श्री जीव गोपालकौ
I offer my respectful obeisances under the six Goswamis, namely Shri Sanatan Goswami, Shri Rupa Goswami, Shri Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Shri Raghunath Das Goswami, Shri Jeeva Goswami, and Shri Gopal Bhatt Goswami, who are very expert students studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus, they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mode of yogis and are engaged in the transcendent loving service of Shri Radha Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयम् उदीरयत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम
So, we've been hearing from Shri Bhagavat Sandarbha, and we were in the second theme of Shri Bhagavat Sandarbha, and that is about Shri Bhagavan's potencies, energies. And you see as here, there are four sub-themes. First part, what we heard in text 12 to 14, and that is lesson 5, it's Bhagavan's energies. And there are three broad categories of Bhagavan's energies: internal potency, that is Swarupa Shakti, the external potency, that is Maya, and then there is an intermediary potency, and that is we. So, both internal potency and the marginal potency V belong to the superior energy or Parashakti, whereas the external potency is a Parashakti. Now, but amazingly enough, it is the inferior energy bewilders the superior energy, that is V, the living entities. That is amazing. So she bewilders us, and that's why she is called illusory potency also. She is not illusion, she is real. In fact, we know she is personified by Shri Durga Devi. So these three potencies, in terms of their function, the way they act, is completely or diametrically opposite to each other. And yet, Bhagavan could accommodate them, all three class of energies. And that is amazing. And they function in perfect harmony to each other. So there is kind of, that defies the reasoning or the logic. And yes, it does. Because that is inconceivable, that cannot be comprehended so easily. And that's why there's the second section, there is text 15 and 17, where Jiva Goswami elaborates further that these two potencies, these three potencies actually fall into two categories mainly, Chitta and Achitta. Chitta means conscious. So Bhagavan's internal potency and we, the intermediary potency, are both conscious, because we are conscious beings, you know. So it's called Chitta potency. Whereas illusion potency, Maya, that is Achitta potency, that is inert. Now there you might question, as we discussed, that how is that? Because we just said, I just said a minute ago, that Maya is personified by Shri Durga Devi. So how could she be inert? She is not inert, but her product, and that is this material world, that is inert. That's why it's inert potency, Achitta potency. So that's all this very, very inconceivable. And we also understood by Jiva Goswami that these potencies are intrinsic to Bhagavan. So that is lesson 6. And then Jiva Goswami wanted to discuss the internal potency, but that's so hard for us to comprehend. So to begin with, he began with description of this Maya potency, external potency. And that was, we discussed the previous week, last week, in text 18-23, in lesson 7. So Bhagavan's external potency, Maya, as I just told you, broadly in three categories, but this Maya also, functionally speaking, there are two divisions of it. One we call one Jiva Maya, the other one is Guna Maya. And what are their functions? So Jiva Maya acts internally, whereas Guna Maya acts externally, and both are really, their objective is to bewilder trapped with our three modes of material into this illusion that we are not. What is the illusion? So first, this Jiva Maya causes us to forget our constitutional nature or internal nature, that we are not this body, we are spirit soul, and we are meant to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. So, can you get back to the previous PowerPoint, please, Prabhuji? So, the internal potency, yes. So, as you can see, there are three divisions. This is what we are saying, that Bhagavan's qualities, now he is talking about the so he began after discussing that Jiva Maya and Guru Maya. So I was talking about Jiva Maya. So Jiva Maya acts internally in the sense that it makes us forget our constitutional nature, that we are a pure spirit soul and we are meant to serve the Supreme Krishna Incarnate. So it makes us forget our this particular nature, constitutional nature, and forgets us our relationship, our eternal relationship with Krishna. So that's, but that is not yet complete enough to put us or trap us into this illusory existence. So then the Guru Maya comes into play, and she acts externally by that function. So she provides a material body made of these three gunas, Rajaguna, Satvaguna, Rajaguna, Tamaguna. So that's why she's called Guna Mayi, Guna Maya. You know. So that completely bewilders us, you know. And the analogy we heard previous week was very nice analogy that actually exactly explains how Maya works. That when a person goes to a bar, so how does he, because he knows that drinking is bad, you know. So first thing, he drinks actually, and he becomes kind of bored, and he starts, gets intoxicated. So that his nature, his consciousness becomes bewildered. And then when he sees a beautiful woman in the bar, so that is providing a sense objects, and he completely forgets, and then he becomes trapped into his illusory existence. So that is, in general, the description, the summary of how this external potency works. In fact, we are going to talk a little bit more about it in today's class also. So now Jiva Goswami is begin to talk about Krishna's internal potency, especially Krishna's qualities or attributes, and that is next slide. So that is in text 24 to 28. So there, there I divide to three lesson themes actually. So text 24 and 25. First of all, it's very easy to understand. Today's class is very straightforward actually. What Jiva Goswami is going to show us, going to establish the fact based on the statement from Srimad Bhagavatam that he uses as a scriptural evidence and then prove that point. So first thing, he's going to prove that these qualities or attributes of the Lord are intrinsic or inherent or part of Krishna's very nature actually. That is in text 24 and 25. And he is going to quote some specific verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, also Sridhar Swami's commentaries, to make that point at home actually. And then 26, he further says that these qualities are eternal and they never diminish. So because in the material world we know that some people have qualities, but as time goes, these qualities get dissipated also, and new qualities develop, but not in the Supreme Lord. His qualities are eternal. Just as Lord is eternal, His attributes, His qualities are also eternal, and they are free from the influence of time, so they never diminish. Again, he quotes relevant key verses actually from Srimad Bhagavatam. And then text 27 and 28, finally he talks about this Bhagavan is transcendental to Maya. So Maya cannot act. In fact, Lord controls the Maya. So in fact, Maya is so dim to come even in front of Krishna, you know. So that is what we will hear in text 27 and 28. So it's very straight, very, very straightforward. So first, let's talk about this text 24 and 25, where Jiva Goswami is establishing that these qualities of the Lord, Bhagavan, are intrinsic or internal or part of His very nature, you know, Swarupa Shakti. So here, the key verse that the Jiva Goswami cites, quotes, is spoken actually by the Vedas personified, that is the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 87th chapter actually. Okay, so verse is this verse actually. Let me, I'd like to make Sanskrit better, you know. So I'll read first the Sanskrit verse. Sa yad jaya, sa yad ajaya, tvaj tva ajam anushayit gunams chajushan. Bhajati sa rupatam tad anumatyam apet bhagaha. Nahasi tam ahir eva tvacha tvacha tama tvacha atta ago. Mahasi mahiyesi ashtakunite aparimeya bhagaha. So here, this before we read the full translation, very nicely it's commented here, very nicely here you can see that Sridhar Swami's comments. So here sa means he actually, so here he means that this jiva living entities, that's what Sridhar Swami is saying, that that's addressed to that actually. The verse is very simple actually. The fundamental difference in we the living entities and the Supreme Lord, we get attracted, bewildered, or allured, but we get attracted the allurement of Maya, you know. So we the living entities, so here you can see this, sa means jiva, and yet, that is the yet or ishmata, because, why it's happening? Because we become attracted by Maya. So here the aja is twice actually, the different meaning. First times the aja is used, ajam, because this Maya is also unborn. Aja means unborn. Just like Lord is unborn, his energies are also unborn, eternal. And the second time aja uses is aja also means an animal called goat, you know. So first time it is used says that the first use of aja, that is Maya, by whose influence this living entity lies alongside, that means they get attracted, you know, and then of course become come under the influence of her three modes of material nature. So the second time the word aja is used as a word here. So living entities embraces, that means they become victims of Maya by their own choice actually. We by our own choice, because we become attracted by Maya's illusory attraction, allurement, you know. Just like I gave you that example, a man goes to a bar and gets intoxicated. So he when he gets intoxicated, his intelligence gets bewildered. He cannot use proper intelligence. He cannot distinguish in what is right and wrong. So when a sense object like beautiful woman comes into when he comes into contact, then he completely becomes comes into totally unto that illusion. So same thing here, he embraces Maya's ignorance. So Maya puts him under ignorance, avidya, you know. Then delighted in her gunas, that means she becomes to enjoy the these three gunas, sattva-guna, rajaguna and tamoguna, especially the lower modes of material nature, rajaguna and tamoguna, and jiva, the living entity, acquires these material qualities, you know, sarupata, you know, and of course, as a result, final end result is that what happens? He develops these material desires one by one, and material desires never get satisfied, and newer desire develops. So he has to come back repeatedly. So there's a repeated death, you know, birth and death that happens. So that's called transmigration of the soul. Now, related to us, the second part of the verse talks about the Supreme Lord. Says that Tvam means you, my Lord. So these are the prayers offered by Vedas personified, actually. You know? So it says Tvam Uta Jahasi, but on the other hand, my Lord, you do not fall, become attracted. You in fact give up. Jahasi means you give up your energy. Maya. So basically, we heard previous class also, just in case to just remind you before we talk further, where Jiva Goswami quotes that second seed verse of Bhagavatam, and that says, in short, that verse says very clearly, Vrittehartam Pratiyat Nacha Pratiyat Atmani. That means whenever Krishna said to Lord Brahma, whenever I am perceived, whenever I am seen, then you don't perceive Maya actually. But whenever I am not seen, then only you see Maya. That means there is no place where I don't exist. And even to think that there is a place that I don't exist, Lord says, that is actually an illusion, that is Maya actually. No? So basically that verse clearly says that Maya is within Krishna, in the sense, without Krishna's support, she cannot function, and yet she's outside Krishna. She's separated from Krishna. You know? So here, that is what it is here. The Lord, even though Maya belongs to her, he gives her up. You know? So the obvious question might arise. Jiva Goswami poses that question. The Lord might say to Vedas personified, how come, why would I give up my own energy, my potency that belongs to me? So Vedas says that you give up Jahasi Tam Ahir, you just like a snake. Ahir means snake. Tvacha means the skin. When snake shapes its skin, old skin gives up the same way. So even though skin is part of the snake, snake gives up afterwards, more use, finds more use, and rejects that. The same way, Lord also, even though Maya belongs to him, Lord rejects Maya actually. So Atta Bhaga, that is what it means actually. And then why? Because Mahasi, my Lord, you are so great because of your glorification. And what is that? Mahiyasi. Mahiyasi means you are glorified. You possess this Ashtaguna. Ashtagunite means the eight kind of mystical siddhis you have, that beginning with Anima. Anima means becoming smaller than the smallest, larger than the largest, and so on like that. There are eight kind of mystic siddhis are there. These yogis have that, but here Lord has this unlimited siddhis actually, and then never diminish within him. And there is immeasurable upper, here see the verse, last part of verse, aparimeya. Aparimeya means there is immeasurable, unlimited. Agra means the opulence. So because of that, here Srila Swami gives an example. So why? Because you possess, actually in Brahma Samhita, Brahmaji also says the same thing, that in the Gola Vrindavan Dham, Lord has this millions and millions of Kamadhenus. Kamadhenus are the cows, wish-fulfilling cows, you know. So when he has so many wonderful that is in your own glory, in your own supreme godhood, that means Bhagavatam, which is filled with eight paranormal potencies, like anima, smaller than the smallest zone, like that. Jiva Goswami talks about in detail about that. And he quotes a verse where Krishna speaks to Uddhava about those eight mystic perfections. And Mahiyas means you are exalted, you are worshipped, or you are situated. And how? He is immeasurable opulence of Primeya Bhaga. Bhaga means, like the word from Bhagavan, also comes that word. Bhaga means great, is six kinds of opulence in unlimited quantity. And the one, Van means the one possessor, the one who possesses these six kinds of opulence, immeasurable, unlimited, that is called Bhagavan, Bhagavan iti Bhagavan. So any, unlike any other, your eight types of opulence are not limited. So some mystic yogis, they acquire these siddhis also, perfections, but that's, they are limited in that actually. But Lord is not. His eight types of opulence are not limited by time and place, but are immeasurable, being completely intrinsic to yourself, my Lord. That's what prayed by the Vedas personified. And the example analogy is given is this snake shedding its used up skin actually. So before that, skin was a part of the snake, but now snake rejects its skin, it no more needs. So Lord also, even the mind belongs to Lord, and she cannot function without Lord, as Lord gives her up actually. And it's many times it's also compared like Lord's wives actually. So she's like a dasi or a maid servant. Maya is like a maid servant. So maid servant, they don't get in the inner chambers of the Lord. They remain outside. The outside king's inner chambers, they don't, maid servants don't enter. Only the queens enter. So here Krishna speaks to Buddha also. So the eight paramount powers are inherent in me. That is exactly the statement that Jiva Goswami is establishing here. So that is 11th canto, 15th chapter, text 9. So this verse, this key verse, very nicely establish that particular fundamental principle. The Lord's relationship, very, very paradoxical relationship with this external potency Maya, and Lord's incredible, inconceivable qualities in that regard. Okay, now let's move on to Sutta. So in text 25, Jiva Goswami gives one more scriptural evidence actually. There are five more scriptural evidence, and I'm not going to go each and every one of them. So we'll talk about one more actually here. That next point will. So if the Supreme Lord if the Supreme Lord alone exists everywhere, then his qualities like omniscience should also be available everywhere. Shouldn't they? Question Jiva Goswami puts right there. So this verse also answers that. No, because he has concealed his divinity. Antarhita Aishwarya. Aishwarya means opulence. Antarhita means like antargat means. It's under the veil of Maya. Lord says in Bhagavad Gita also that I am not Naprakashya. I am not seen by the living entities. I am being covered by the veil or the curtain of Maya. So Maya. So Lord, hides his divinity underneath Maya actually. In our three modes, Guna Sarga. And this verse, this 1087-38, is spoken by the Vedas personified, clearly describes Bhagavan and his relationship with the internal and external potencies, the fundamental difference also. And the conditioned jivas, the intermediate potency, because of their association with material energy. So we become illusioned, we become deluded by Maya's three modes of material nature, we become attracted. And as a result, we fall into this repeated birth, death, old age diseases. But Lord is, no, Lord con- con- controls Maya actually. Maya cannot come under the purview of Lord's internal potency. So he abandons her, that is jihadi. That means Maya is Lord's external, that's why it's called external potency. So he does not associate with or engage with her for enjoyment. So Maya cannot influence him. She's like the shed skin of a snake. Okay? So this is the verse I was talking about in text 25. Bhajanti gunaha sarve nirgunam nirapaksham suhudam sriya atmanam samya asanga adayo agunaha. So the key verse among the five cited, this is spoken by the Swan Incarnational, Amsa Avatara, speaking to the four Kumaras. Actually, so happened, four Kumaras are the Manas Putras or the metal sons of Lord Brahma. So once what happened, these four Kumaras knew very well that living entities come under the influence, they become attracted by Maya's allurements. And they become trapped, and they become delusioned. They become delusioned by Maya. So, what is the way? What is the proper way these conditioned souls can resist this particular attraction by Maya? You know, and Brahmaji really couldn't satisfactorily answer that question. So now the four Kumaras now got an opportunity. See the Lord, and Lord is answering that very question. So in that particular incident, Lord is taking the form of a swan, Hamsa, and is answering that Hamsa Uttara is, and that's where this verse is spoken. Bhajanti gunaha sarva sarve nirgunam nirapeksham suvidam priya atmanam samya asanga adayo agunaha. So he can person with liberation. So question is, how can a person attain liberation? Essentially, that's what the question was asking. How can they become free from the influence of Maya? You know. So there's a tight note. What's called Hriday Granthi. So we are the very pure spirit souls, and here this material nature tightly attracts us, and this tight attraction of the spirit soul. With this matter is really incredible. They cannot loosen the this note. So here there's a question, how this happen actually. In fact, that verse also I speak many times from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter actually, and verses 16 through 21. So one of the verse says that Vidyatiradeganthis Chinyate Sarvasamshaya Kshiyante Chasya Karmani Dasht Devatmani Ishwari. So this tight note of this spirit and the matter, that attraction we have, the tremendous propensity we have to enjoy matter, that on our own we cannot resist, that becomes completely shattered, that tight note, by simply acquiring this Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam. And Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam comes by simply engage devotional service like chanting the holy name. So Lord sitting in our heart as Paramatma, he cleanses our heart, you know, and the influence of this lower modes of material nature, he removes and establishes pure mode of goodness. And pure mode of goodness, that's where Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam develops actually, because we engage in pure devotional service, you know, and when we become enlightened by the transcendental knowledge of the Lord, that Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam, that is the one breaks that our attraction, that our natural propensity to enjoy matter, that's where that is shattered. So this verse is spoken, is saying very similar thing actually. All superior transcendental qualities, such as being beyond the modes of nature, detachment, the well-wisher, the most dear, the super soul, equally situated everywhere, and free from material entanglement. All such qualities free from the transmission of material qualities find their shelters, bhajati gunaha. In fact, this gunas, Maya completely surrenders actually, you know. Maya is a servant of the Lord, you know. And actually nirgunam, Lord is nirgunam. That means he does not have qualities. In the same, that means he does not direction is the opposite. You don't desire any kind of this kind of material desires. So Lord is totally detached from that. And he is Surudam Priya Atmanam. So he is the best well-wishing friend of all living entities. You know. And Samyas, that means he is equal to everyone. Bhagavad Gita also. Samaha Sarvesha Bhuteshu, you know. So he is equal to everyone. And Asanga, he does not attach to this kind of thing. And Asanga Hari, so he, so many qualities he has, etc., etc. And he is Aguna, Dirguna like, Aguna like. Aguna means without any material qualities. So again, that is further astonishing that Lord's qualities are immeasurable and he is really, that qualities are intrinsic to him, is part of the Lord actually, you know, and they are spiritual qualities. Mam bhajati gunaha sarve, that means, so here again, Sridhar Swami comments further. All the modes of material nature, this Maya, take shelter of me, Lord says that. And what kind of qualities are inherent in him? Those which are not of the guna, those are not of material nature actually. A guna or nirguna, no material modes of nature, but are eternal, and that is the spiritual qualities. Surudam Priya Atmanam is a big, is the well-wisher, the best well-wishing friend that one can have, you know. Surudam Sarva Bhutanam, you know, the Bhagavad Gita verse 5th chapter. Surudam Priya Atmanam is being the well-wisher of all. The most beloved self, meaning he is not dependent on anyone. He is the supreme ashraya, you know. Samya Asanga, he is equal to everyone, Samha Sarveshu Bhuteshu, you know. An absence of any kind of attachment, Asanga. Nirapeksham or indifferent or totally without any kind of desires. Absolute or independent. He is his own support. Sva Ashraya. Nirgunasya Gunatmaha. Nirgunasya Gunatma means he is the self of all qualities. Who's beyond all qualities. So he has unlimited immeasurable qualities. And he, in fact, so many qualities he has, that he even, Lord himself doesn't know even that. So Lord referred to as Bhumi, he's adorned by qualities that belong to his essential nature, his Swarupa Shakti, his internal nature, they are part of him actually. This again, another scripture, Brahma Tarka, you know. So both texts 24 and 25, that Jiva Goswami established, that Lord has indefinite qualities and immeasurable qualities, and their part is intrinsic to him. They are inherent, a part of his internal nature actually. And he has no material qualities. They are all spiritual qualities. And here now, in text 26, he is now establishing that they are eternal, without the influence of time, and they never diminish. So here, this is the verse Jiva Goswami quotes, is spoken by Mother actually, you know. After enumerating 39 attributes, the following key was spoken by Mother Earth. So I think if you remember, this is the from Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, towards the very end actually, chapter 17 onwards. What happened once, Parikshit Maharaj was in a disguised form. He was going around the city to find out exactly what people, how people are, you know, having any difficulties or not. You know. So there he witnessed a very strange scene actually. A Shudra man was beating a cow in a bowl actually. Actually that's personification of Kali. So this bull, his three legs are already cut off actually. So he was just having with one leg in great pain actually, you know. And there was a cow crying actually. Actually it turns out that this cow is personification of Mother Earth herself. And this bull is the personification of religious principles. So the cow is lamenting to bull actually. And here, so this Mother Earth in the form of a cow, she is saying this verse actually. Eteja anya cha భగవన్ నిత్య భగవన్ నిత్య ఇత్ర మహాగుణా తాస్య మహత్వం ఇచ్చతి నవ్యంతి స్మ కవిచిత్ నవ్యంతి చ నవ్యంతి స్మ కవిచిత్. But it means, O Venerable One, these and many other exalted qualities which are desired by those aspiring to greatness are eternal, never diminish the Lord. So she is saying, she is lamenting that all beauty is not, Mother Earth's beauty is not what we think, that this great beautiful rivers, mountains, oceans and so on like that. How beauty is really at that time, Krishna himself was in Vrindavan at that time. So Krishna had already left Vrindavan. So that time, Krishna had already left this planet actually. And Kali, the earth was completely under the grip of Kali. So she was saying that and she was lamenting about that. So now Vyanti Sma, Mother Earth stated that Lord Krishna's bodies are eternal and do not diminish in time. So Jiva Goswami also quotes a verse from Vishnu Purana spoken by Brahma, and this is also actually a very interesting incident also given in Srimad Bhagavatam, that this King Revata had a daughter actually, Revati, and he was looking for a proper match for his daughter. So he, remember this is the very very advanced personalities. So he was able to go to see Lord Brahma in person in Satyaloka. So he went there, and at Brahma he saw that. It's a long story actually. So and then Brahma actually sees him, and Brahma tells him about he proposes Lord Balarama at that time for the daughter of Revati, daughter of King Revata, Revati. So he is glorifying Lord Brahma, Lord Balaram's character actually. So there he says that, the divisions of time, such Kala, Maruta, cannot transform the qualities of Supreme Lord Balarama. So Lord is completely free from the influence of time. So Srila Swami also comments. See, the pronouns ethi or these refers to, so this, there are series of verses in that, and this is just one of the verse that's quoted here, Jiva Goswami. So in series of verses, Mother Earth lists some 39 qualities of the Lord actually. So besides these, there are many other exalted qualities, such as respecting Brahmanas, go Brahman Itaicha, Krishna, that is quality, Krishna and Balaram. They always, respect the Brahmanas and offer shelter to the devotees, always. Name Bhakti Pranashati, which naturally and eternally exist in the Supreme Lord. They never diminish. So there is, it's not like after time diminish, no. It's beyond influence of time, eternal. So what to speak of the Lord, even by the grace of the Lord, even the devotees of the Lord also acquire these qualities, desirable qualities. No? This is spoken by Prahlad Maharaj, the sons of the demons, in this 5th canto, 18th chapter, text 12, that even devotees acquire these qualities, wonderful qualities, what to speak of the Lord, by Lord's grace. So we established first, and we, in the sense that Jiva Goswami established, that Lord has wonderful qualities, and are unlimited, immeasurable, and they are intrinsic to His nature, they are eternal, so they do not diminish over time. So now in these final verses, text 27 and 28, Jiva Goswami is establishing that Bhagavan is transcendental to Maya. So Maya cannot come under the, wherever the Lord is there, and Lord's a crocodile and cut the feet or the foot of Linda Baba and take inside. In fact, what happened actually, it was Varuna Dev is the water god, gods of water, god of water, and he summoned actually, he arranged so that Linda Baba could be arrested and taken there. Basically, he wanted Krishna to come there actually, because he knew Krishna will definitely come to rescue his father, So at that time, this Varuna Dev offering prayers to Krishna. So that is a verse spoken there actually. So this key verse was cited by Jiva Goswami, spoken by Varuna Dev to Krishna when the Lord went to rescue his father, who had been arrested for taking bath in river Yamuna at a forbidden hour. So this is 10th canto, 28th chapter, text 6. Namastubhyam Bhagavate Brahmane Paramatma Paramatmane. Namastubhyam Bhagavate Brahmane Paramatmane. Na yatra shruyate maya loka shrishti vikalpana. Loka shrishti vikalpana. So my obeisances unto you, my Lord, the absolute truth, the supreme soul, Paramatma, within whom there is no trace of illusory energy. So again, it's saying very clearly that Maya is external to Maya, external to the Lord actually. It's not part of the Lord, and yet she cannot function without the support of the Lord. So that is this verse saying about. So Varuna explicitly states, basically what we all know, Bhagavan is totally controls Maya. Maya cannot act. It has no influence over Bhagavan. So question here Varuna is asking, since absolute truth is in three phases, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, so how about the other aspects of the absolute truth? Are Brahman and Paramatma also is transcendental to Maya's influence? That's the question actually, so that is the question Varuna Dev is asking here. So this here very clearly that just like Bhagavan, even Brahman and Paramatma also are transcendental. That's no surprise, because we already learned this one, that Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, there is no difference in these three. It's the same in these different kinds of perception the worshipper sees according to their adhikara, So one and the same, there's no difference. So clearly Bhagavan is transcendental, so Brahman and Paramatma are also transcendental to Maya's influence. So there's another verse also spoken, actually quoted by Shri Jiva Goswami, and that was spoken by Parikshit Maharaj, who requested Shivadeva Goswami to explain him about the structure of the cosmos. Now here again one would wonder actually, remember this whole attachment Bhagavatam was narrated by Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj, when Parikshit Maharaj had only 7 days to live actually, and Shrimad Bhagavatam was to really to help him go back to spiritual world actually. So why would at that critical junction Parikshit Maharaj would ask about the structure of the cosmic manifestation, because he has nothing to do with the material world anymore now, why would he ask that? But actually he was asking on behalf of Lord of Pearls, on behalf of those neophytes, who the recommendation is to meditate on the personal form of the Lord, right? But those neophytes who cannot fix their mind on the personal form of the Lord, those who do not have that, cannot engage in devotional service, then Sukadeva Goswami actually recommends for them to meditate on this Krishna's Virat Rupa, the universal form. Because that is actually, that's an imaginary form, and that's a material form. It's the whole entire cosmos is it life, it's like a gigantic body of the Lord. This Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is like that actually. So that is Virat Rupa. Virat Rupa comes, it's expansion of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And it's material form, so there is no spiritual form in that. So these neophytes are recommended on that aspect of it, that's what this verse is about. Why? Because then only they will realize the one who sees this gigantic universe an incredible way and precise way this world, material world is maintained. These different planets that are exactly in that particular orbit, even a few degrees here and there, it becomes totally unstable, you know. So somebody must be maintaining that fine balance, you know, for it to exist and to maintain, you know. So then only the neophyte is going to realize there is some supreme entity that must be governing that, you know. And slowly then at that time, he will realize that there is someone supreme who is supreme person, and that is a person actually. So then we'll come to that emotional pattern later, you know. So there is reason for that actually. So let us read here. So the second verse quoted by Jiva Goswami is by Parikshit Maharaj, who requested Sukadeva Goswami to explain him about the structure of the cosmos. So when the mind is fixed upon the supreme personality Godhead, in his external feature, made of material modes of nature, the gross material form, the gross universal form actually, and that is Virata Rupa, it is brought to light from pure goodness. So in that transcendental position, one can understand the supreme personality Godhead, Vasudev, who in his subtler form is self-effulgent and beyond the modes of material nature. So, O my Lord, please describe vividly how that form which covers the entire universe is perceived. So, that's what the question is about, Parikshit Maharaj. So, basically, Parikshit Maharaj is asking that question because once we realize that it is the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, whose Virata Rupa is in fact represented by him, then they will not think that Krishna is an ordinary person, you know. So when they finally come to see the 10th canto, then they hear a Rasalila and so on, and then they don't get bewildered, because otherwise they will think that Krishna is an ordinary human person, you know, ordinary human being, and they would begin to doubt how Krishna is engaged as like young boy and girl, like that, you know, that kind of Rasalila and all kind of things, you know. But then when he realizes that he is a supreme person, you know, then they don't think that kind of, so there is a total difference in that his thinking. So that is the reason why this question was put forward. So neophytes, okay, let me read the verse here then. So when the mind is fixed upon the supreme personality Godhead, in his external feature, made of material modes of nature. So this Virata Rupa is a material form actually, you know. So the gross universal form, the platform, pure goodness. In that transcendental position, one can understand the supreme personality Godhead Vasudev, who in his subtler form is self-effulgent and beyond the modes of nature. So that is exactly what, even though it's material form, material world, this universal form is the Lord himself. The Lord is transcendental, of course, you know. So my Lord, please describe vividly, vividly means clearly, how that form which covers the entire universe is perceived, how one can perceive that. Instead of just seeing an inner material world, how is this neophyte comes to the platform that there is some superior entity, you know, which is beyond the influence of this material world, is there actually, representing by that gigantic material universe. So that is the question actually. You know. So neophyte who cannot fix their mind on the transcendental form of the Lord are advised to meditate on this Virata Rupa. So this is the, Surya Goswami talks about the first level of God realization actually. First step. And when you succeed in the first step, then the second step is Paramatma realization, you know, super soul realization, and then finally Bhagavan realization later on actually, you know. So this is the steps, begins at the is servant of the Lord, actually, you know. She is a devotee of the Lord, amazingly enough. So why she is feeling shy, actually? First of all, she is she is bewildering living entities, and that's what she feels the same, because she is taking these living entities away from the Lord, you know. So the verse this is spoken by Lord Brahma to Narada. Now here it so happened, actually, that let me give you the background of this verse also, that this is again given in the second canto. Narada is the son of Lord Brahma, mental son of course, one of the 10 sons. So Narada Muni, he first in that time, in the beginning of the, this is the very, very beginning of the universe, you know. Universe was just being created by Lord's, by Brahma's secondary creation. He created these different planetary systems, universe, and he created this 8.4 billion species of life forms and so on. So Narada Muni was really amazed, you know, by his father, actually. That in fact, he thought that my father must be the Supreme Person of God himself. Because how could he do this incredible thing, an incredible creation? You know? He was so impressed. But at the same time, he began to become confused also. Because he noticed that his father, Lord Brahma, was always meditating on someone, you know. So if he is the Supreme Lord, why would he meditate? You know? That was the one, that was the question he was not sure about it. So once he gathered his courage and asked his father Brahma that I believe you are the Supreme, why you are meditating, who you are meditating on, you know? Why do you need someone else's help when you are the Supreme, you know? So of course, ordinary person would feel great pride, right? And he would accept that glorification. But Brahma is the pure devotee of the Lord, actually. And he could not even accept the fact that he is the Supreme. But that's also an offense, you know. So he said, no, I am not the Supreme, you know. I am his very, very insignificant servant. That is a typical quality of a devotee, actually. He, devotee never thinks that he is the devotee of the Lord, actually, you know. He doesn't even think that he has that kind of capability, but that kind of great mercy of the Lord, you know. So this time, this Brahma begin to instruct Narada Muni, and he speaks this one of these verses, actually. You know. This is the second canto, fifth chapter. There are two verses, that's 12 and 13. So this is going to explain the Maya, who is actually so ashamed to come even in front of the Lord, actually. And it's exactly the vision that Srila Vyasadeva also saw in his Samadhi also, you know. Is in a super cognitive samadhi that we already discussed in Tattva Sandarbha. So here's the verse. Tasmai namo bhagavate vasudevaya dhimai yanmayaya durjaya ma vadanti jagatguru vilajjamanaya yasya sthatum ikshate amoya vimohita vikathante mam aham iti dudhi. So here you see the picture, you know, the four headed Brahma speaking to Narada Muni. So he said, I offer my obeisances and meditate upon Lord Krishna, Vasudevaya Dhimahi, the personality of Godhead, whose invincible. Excuse me. So, I offer my obeisances and meditate upon Lord Krishna. That is Lord Vasudev. In fact, Vasudev is another name. Vasudev also means he is the one who all pervading Lord, you know. The personal Godhead, whose individual invincible potency influences them, the less intelligent class of man, to call me the Supreme Controller. So what he's saying, that those who are ignorant, less intelligent people, they would think that I am the Supreme, you know. So if you are intelligent, you would not think like that. Ordinary on the particular capabilities, that he should not jump, that he is supreme. Because who is the supreme God that is already given the scriptures, actually, you know? So one should not jump to that conclusion. So the illusory energy of the Lord cannot take residence, being ashamed of her position. But those who are bewildered by her always talk nonsense, being absorbed in the thought of it is I and it is mine and so on like that. So basically he is chastising Narada Muni that don't enter that, that kind of false impression that I am the supreme, I cannot be. So here, wonderful Jiva Goswami actually this, you know, very nicely says that by the author of this book, you know, Satyanarayana Prabhu, that there are many different ways how Maya actually bewilders the conditioned soul, actually. And here is given two different ways. And we already saw, actually, in the last week's class, that because of this Guna Maya and Jiva Maya, that one affects internally, the other one affects externally. The Jiva Maya puts us in ignorance. It takes away our original nature, actually. That we think that we are actually pure spirit soul, so we are put into this ignorance, and we forget about that our true nature, that we are spirit soul. You know. So puts us under ignorance, again, you know, avidya. And then Guna Maya gives us this material body, so we, under that influence, we begin to, under illusion, we misidentify our body being ourself, and we forget our spiritual identity. So that is the real two ways that how Maya does it, was in a internally and externally. But here the same explained in a slightly different way, actually. You know? So here, two ways of it means Maya makes us to forget Krishna. So when Krishna himself comes in a human form, then we think that he is an ordinary human being, actually. And that exactly happened when Lord was here on this planet. Even many people did not think that Krishna as the Supreme Lord, actually. You know, especially Duryodhana and so on, they never believed that, you know. So there's one way. And the second way is that somebody who is an ordinary person, they think that he is the Supreme. In today's world, we see many things. Somebody, some great person, you know, some special capabilities they may have, and they think that he is the avatar, he is the incarnation of the Lord, you know. So we see a dime a dozen incarnation of the Lord all the time here, you know. And that is also actually Maya's influence. So that is what it says. So let me read here. So in the first instance, hides or covers the Lord so that ignorant think of him to be an ordinary human being. Avajanati mam Buddha. So Krishna himself says to Arjuna that when I descend in the human form, manushim tanum ashritam, you know, in a human form, then many people do not understand me, who I am. So these are, in fact, Lord says they are Buddhas. They are really stupid people with no intelligence. Buddha means completely. Buddha means completely no intelligence at all. Stupid. Murkha. So there's text. You know, there's 9th chapter, 11th text, you know, in Bhagavad Gita. And the second way, make them consider an ordinary human to be a supreme person. So one who is really supreme, they don't accept him as supreme. And one who is an ordinary person, they accept that ordinary person to be the supreme. So that is the influence of Maya, actually. In a very interesting way, this is explained here. But we know that in the previous class that we heard, Jiva Goswami actually giving us that very nice evidence that Maya affects internally, it takes wrong in our intelligence and puts us in ignorance. And we misidentify ourselves our physical body instead of being spiritual in nature, actually. So Narada also initially thought Brahma to be the supreme based. So what to speak of ordinary people like us, actually. He watching him to do the this powerful secondary creation. Yet he began to doubt as he couldn't comprehend why Brahma had undergone severe austerities to do this. So Brahma was meditating and he was practicing very, very severe austerities, you know. So that is why he began to wonder that he thought that he was a supreme, but why would a, if he is a supreme, why would he need to meditate on someone else? Why did he have to perform austerities to please someone, you know? So that's what you know, he began to wonder about that. Brahmaji, actually, his father tells him point blank that no, he is not a supreme. He's just an insignificant servant, you know. So he couldn't comprehend why Brahma had undergone severe austerities to do his creation. And so he meditating on someone. So Brahma, being a pure devotee of the Lord, provides him by speaking this particular verse that we just read. Okay, now we can show the next slide. PowerPoint number 15. So, Jiva Goswami also, another verse also. There are five verses actually, sites. I just gave this one verse, two verses actually. So, there's another verse that Jiva Goswami cites is Brahma's prayers to Krishna in Brahma Samhita. I adore the primeval Sri Govinda, by whose conferred power are maintained all manifested potencies found to exist. Whether of virtue, vices, the Vedas, penances, and all the jivas, to Brahma, to the insignificant act. So again, this speaks the glorification of the Lord actually. So Maya cannot face Bhagavan, just as darkness cannot face the sun. She is not an illusion, rather she is real. She is, of course, referred to as illusory potency. But what she does, she puts the living entity in the illusion. But she herself is real. She is not an illusion. And she is eternal, like the Lord. So she is the energy of the Lord. But her products, this material world, is temporary. It's not an illusion, but it's temporary. But Mayavadi said that this material world is an illusion. Only Brahma Satyam. So sometimes the Lord's energies are compared to his wives. So Maya is also his wife, but her service is to delude the living entities. So it's the Lord himself actually gave that order to Maya, you know. So just like a director gives an actor to perform as a hero and another actor to perform as a villain, you know. So it's just like that. They're just actors. You know? So Maya is also performing that role. It's a thankless job, you know. Nonetheless, she is a devotee of the Lord actually. So she feels herself very ashamed that she is doing this thankless job. She is taking Lord's devotees away from him actually. Those who became, you know, their conditioned soul basically. So reason why she feels ashamed to face the Lord, that's the reason actually. Because she is deluding the living entities. So she knows the Lord to be transcendental and herself as consisting of the modes of material nature. Modes transcendent beyond the modes, and she represents the modes. So that's another reason actually. You know. So again, very clearly states here. So this is totally opposite to what Mayavadi states. Mayavadi says that it is the jiva and Ishwara, both are the products of Brahman. When Brahman comes under in contact with the Maya, Maya's avidya potency, then the jivas are formed. And the same jivas, now when comes into the vidya forms in the Maya, then they become Ishwara, you know. It's completely wrong, you know. So here it's there. So here is the final summary of this, the final summary of these five chapters, text 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. And these are the take-home messages actually, the conclusive highlights. So first, Bhagavan has unlimited inherent attributes, qualities, and all his potencies are eternal, beyond influence of time, because he himself is the time, you know, obviously. Maya, the external potency, does not influence him, cannot influence him. And Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan are all transcendental to Maya, but they are all one and the same, basically. time has no influence on the internal purposes of the Lord. And you already saw what's the role of the time. What does time do that? Just to remind you, when the very beginning of creation, Mahavira throws a glance. So glance consists two or three things. He does that. Through his glance, his super soul expansion enters into the material nature. That is pradhana. When the three modes of material nature are in equilibrium, so they are not active, they are dormant. So what the dormant state of material nature is called pradhana. So what the glass, that means his super soul expansion enters, and super soul's time potency is part of the super soul. Just like that, we living in it is also going to learn, also part of the super soul. So the time enters there. So by the inclusion of the time potency, exactly that is what, how Maya gets activated. You know, how does Maya gets activated? By the Lord's time potency. You know? And then these three modes of material gel, they become activated, and that's the creation begins. And that's the third point, Lord injects, we the living entity, from previous cycle, we were the body of Mahavishnu, then puts in the next cycle of creation. So we are injected right there. So there, the time potency also affects this conditioned souls. So beginning and end is right, it's introduced right there. Okay? So this is to remember that. So time has no influence on the internal potency of the Lord. And the time is the one who activates Maya. So even great and powerful gods like Indra, Varuna, and Brahma are also servants of Bhagavan, you know, who is completely free from Maya. So we are all, even the topmost living entity Brahma, down to the insignificant end, every one of us, we are under the influence of Maya. Potentially becomes, can become bewildered by Maya. The great sages like Narad Muni also become victim of that. What is we? The great demigods Indra and Brahma also came under the influence of Maya. Srimad Bhagavatam talks about that. So the Lord controls Maya. Maya is the servant of the Lord. She is even ashamed to come in front of him also. You know? So that concludes this today's lesson. Very straightforward, very simple, forward. So let's see if there are any questions or comments. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. So next week, we'll begin a new theme, the third theme of the book, Nishri Bhagavad Sandarbha, and that is we'll talk about the Lord's transcendental body and expansions. And that's a large topic, a big theme. There are six subparts of it here. Okay. Thank you. So let's see. So Ravi Prabhu is asking, Lord Shiva is not mentioned as a servant. Is that correct? No, Lord Shiva is also a servant of the Lord. But Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, they are very, very highly, great personalities actually. They are both also Guru Avatars also, you know. Lord Shiva is the in charge of mode of ignorance. Lord Brahma is in charge of Lord of mode of rajas, passion and so on like that. So Lord Shiva is also, in fact, he is the greatest Vaishnava. He is the Mahabharata, great, great devotee of the Lord actually. Okay, Ravi. A great explanation. Time gets active. Great explanation of what time gets. The time does not get activated. Time activates Maya. Time is the purpose of the Lord, and time activates Maya, the three modes of material nature. So, super soul, time is part of super soul, and so are the living entities. So, that we are going to learn much more in great details in this Sandarbha. time is not exactly Maya, but time activates Maya. Time is Krishna. But time can, so time is Krishna's, what we say, time, he controls time actually. So in the spiritual world, time is no influence, even the time himself is there. Sharad Prabhu, Virat Rupa is imaginary, so meditating on it would mean meditating on impersonal nature. So you are meditating on material world actually, of Virat Rupa, and then Srimad Bhagavatam said that you accept the Virat Rupa as the gigantic body of the Lord. So it is actually in that regard to accept that as a personal form of the Lord. But it isn't that imagined sense that it is the material world, gigantic material world as Lord's gigantic body. So it's not exactly impersonal in that sense. If Brahma is not influenced by Maya, then why he was bewildered? No, I didn't say that Brahma is not influenced by Maya. In fact, I just told you that even great demigods like Indra, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, they also came under the influence of Maya, you know. They became bewildered, as we saw in Bhagavad-gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, how Brahma, once he saw that Krishna was having lunch with his coward friends, because he was there to take care of the cows when he was a little, little boy. So at that time, they were having a nice, wonderful pastimes, and Krishna was taking prasadam from the mouth of his coward friends. So then Brahma began to wonder how this boy could be considered as a supreme lord, when, what kind of supreme lord he is when he is taking the food from somebody else's mouth actually, you know. So he also put under the illusion by the Lord actually, to make a point here. And then of course, at that time to test this little boy, whether or not he is supreme. So he stole the coward boys, coward friends of Krishna, and those cows, you know, the baby cows, and hid them in a cave, and just wonder what, now let's see what this boy is going to do that, you know. So Krishna knew about what's happening, and to teach him a lesson, Krishna expanded himself into all the coward boys' forms as they were before, exact duplicate, in every little sense. And he also multiplied himself also in these cows, baby cows, you know. And then later on, then Brahma realized his mistake actually. So that instance, that tells you that he also came under the influence of Maya, you know, Krishna and Maya. And Lord Shiva himself also came under the influence of Maya, the Mohini avatar, you know. So I think you didn't hear me right. So Brahma is under, also gets influenced by Maya. So that's exactly Brahma being my own Leela. You're right. Thank you. Sanjay Prabhu, can you explain once again why Virat Rupa shown by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is to be considered material? No, it's a different concept. What is saying that imagine in a sense, because the neophyte, as Sudev Goswami said, that neophyte is not in that kind of situation to, he's a neophyte in the sense he cannot meditate on the transcendental form of the Lord. So that time they recommended to see this Virat Rupa, this gigantic material universe, and see the intricacy details, but then see that there's somebody supreme must be behind who is controlling that, in that sense actually, no? So material, it's a spiritual aspect of it, but they see the material world as the gigantic body of the supreme. So in that regard, it's like imaginary and material form in that regard, you know. But that is representation of the supreme. That's what the neophytes are recommended to meditate on, that aspect of it. So when Krishna showed that form, universal form, to Arjuna, he actually showed that universal form is gigantic material. So he Krishna would, Arjuna could see the entire cosmos right in front of him, beyond time and space. Just imagine, you know, right at the same time he could see everything, you know, stands right in that exactly. Beyond time and space constraints. Thank you, Sharad Prabhu, your doubts are cleared. Wonderful. That's what knowledge does. Okay, Padma Prabhu. By entering the material cosmos, Lord activates it. So material world is not at that time created. It's the total material energy there, as Pradhana, that gets activated by the Lord's glance actually. By Lord's time potency, and the super soul himself enters there actually. And along with the living entities. And then, and that cosmos. So the basic ingredients, the senses, the modes of material, they are created by the Lord. That's primary creation. And the secondary creation by Brahma, the Brahma what he does, he creates this different planetary system, cosmos. And he also creates the 8.4 million species of life forms, the bodily forms, forms living entities, you know. So that is Brahma's secondary creation. So Virashubha, Lord, accepting the material body as we are confused. So that is it when I explained to you that when because remember, this Virat Rupa is actually he provides Brahma as a blueprint actually. So Brahma, when he's there, Brahma himself was created from his navel in the lotus stem and the lotus flower. So he showed all these things, this Virat Rupa, to Brahma. So Brahma saw that and actually he got it as a blueprint. Then he began to create these different planetary systems, you know, to the gigantic body. Remember that Brahma, the Prabhupada Vishnu himself, which is the long, long stem of lotus stem, in that stem is 14 parts of the 14 Brahmanda. Those were the nascent form that was shown to Lord Brahma as a blueprint. ISKCON is building, in the fifth canto, is very detailed explanation is given there, and ISKCON is building a great planetarium actually in Mayapur, exactly according to what is the description in fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Atul Prabhu, Shiva Mohini in Avatar, can you extend that? That is again comes into the in Srimad Bhagavatam when this demons and the demigods, they begin fighting each other, you know. So when they churned the ocean of milk ocean, and different things came out, and of course Lord helped them, you know, whole big long stories there about. So when final product came out, this nectar, the amrita, so that means those who drink amrita, they can become immortal. So then they started fighting there. So just to bewilder the demons, Lord took a form of very, very beautiful, enticing woman actually. And this is Mohini Avatar actually. So Mohini bewilders the demons, and then Lord managed to give the part of nectar to the demigods and not to the demons. Only the one demon that you know, cheated, and there is Rahul actually, you know. But Rahul was also killed at that point. At that time, Rahul had just betrayed. But before the nectar gets underneath the throat, Lord kills him, cuts his, behaves him by Sudarshan Chakra. So what happened that after this incident was over, Lord Shiva wanted to see that, he requested Lord to please show him the Mohini incarnation, Mohini Avatara. He wanted to see personally see. And Lord warned him that don't do that, you know, and he still insisted upon that. So Lord showed that Mohini Avatar, and of course, Lord Shiva also became bewildered, and he became enticed by this beautiful womanly form of the Lord, his Mohini, and he even forgot he was right beside his own concert, Mother Parvati. shown, there's what the whole incidents given in great detail in Srimad Bhagavatam Mohini Avatar. So there was a point that Lord Shiva himself also willingly become bewildered by Mohini. Now, he became willingly become bewildered.
Good man. It's amazing. What time did you do this?
Naveen Prabhu, what is the relation between the divisions called
functionally they act like that.